Inventive, innovative, in-series opera is back with another dynamic, surprising rediscovery and reinvention. This time, it's an often-overlooked oratorio by Baroque bad boy Alessandro Stradella, St. John the Baptist, composed in 1675, but getting its first full staging in D.C. and Baltimore from October 2nd through 12th, in a co-production with New York's Catapult Opera, with a world premiere new English libretto by Barry Byrne and directed by in-series artistic director Timothy Nelson, who joins me on the phone to talk about it. Welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks, Kevin. Great to be here.
You have a lot on your plate right now.
Indeed. You, I hope you use plate as a pun there.
Yes, and hopefully not a head.
Not a head.
No. So Stradella's own salacious, eventful life was so worthy of an operatic stage, it actually got its own 19th century rendition, I discovered.
Yeah, actually multiple operas.
That's phenomenal. Live your life in a way that can warrant an opera made of it. But his version of the risque biblical tale of Salome certainly can hold its own. Maybe this tale is better known in versions by Oscar Wilde than Richard Strauss, but how would you say Stradella's opera manages to be both explicit and enigmatic at the same time, as I've seen you describe it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Stradella, as you intimated, his life was as a rogue. He lived at the sort of boundaries of what was acceptable in society and often over the boundary. And that also bleeds into his music, the way he wrote music, the forms he chose, his harmonic language. It's stunning and shocking music, unlike any other composer, and also the subjects that he chose. So we know the Salome story, of course, mostly from the Strauss, Oscar Wilde version. It's not a piece that other composers were setting regularly. It was not a commonplace piece for church oratorios. So that he even chose this really salacious, sexually tinged narrative from the Bible is already setting up what sort of an artist that he was. But I think the way that it's cinematic is actually for what it doesn't say. He kind of adopts what was starting to be a trend in painting at the same period, which is that main action can happen halfway off the frame, and we only get to see a part of the action. It's hinted at that there's more going on in this painting. Same thing in the libretto and in the score for Stradella's St. John the Baptist, he sort of hints that there are these backstories and complicated human psychologies that then he never explores in ways which are very satisfyingly unexplored, because they allow us as the audience to imagine an even deeper and darker place.
And in your work, is that about emphasizing the ambiguity of those, leaving them in the sort of mannerist murk? Or is that about using those as opportunities to illuminate that, to sort of make it say something that you want to put into the fracture?
All of the above. I think that the challenge is, because the opportunity it gives a director is to say, actually, I want to go left when we know the piece probably was intended to go right. But because there's ambiguity, I can do that. The challenge as a director is to temper oneself and say, sometimes it's better not to really say so clearly what direction we're going, and to kind of strike a balance between following the original, going off in one's own direction, and then embracing the ambiguity of the piece.
Thinking about that exploration, the piece was originally conceived as an oratorio. So I wonder, in putting it on its feet in full production, what else you're able to discover or even uncover that feels new and different, embodying such an embodied story?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, it's important to correct the sort of perception we have about oratorio as a form, oratorio being typically sacred works that were performed in concert. We imagine that that might be because there was a more pious element, or there was an attempt to write in something that was not dramatic, not operatic, and had a more spiritual element. But in point of fact, in Rome, theater, and especially opera, were for most of the 17th century banned. That didn't mean that the people who held power and money in Rome didn't want to see opera. It just meant they weren't allowed to. So they kind of invented oratorio as a way to sneak under the rules. Oratorios from Rome especially, but even if you look at the English oratorios of Handel, they're equally dramatic and sexy and salacious as many of the operas being written in Venice at the same time. It's just that the only way they could get away with it was by doing it in concert. So I think actually the revelation, particularly with St. John the Baptist, is to find how inherently dramatic it already is. It's hard to believe that it's not supposed to be an opera, because there's no opera of the period that is any more dramatic or exciting or craving to be embodied.
And audiences can enjoy that entire experience, this unusual opportunity, the in-series Catapult co-production of Stradella's St. John the Baptist, directed by my guest, Timothy Nelson, October 2nd through 12th, first in Southwest DC, and then here at the Baltimore Theater Project. Tickets and far more information are at inseries.org. Thank you so much for your thoughts, Timothy.
My pleasure, Gavin.